This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. This message entitled Victory in the Battles was delivered on February 3rd, 2019. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Good morning, New Hope. You ready for the game? Yeah, this is like the first time ever that I'm wearing jeans and a t-shirt to preach. It's like, oh, forgive me, Lord. But I just thought we have a little bit fun. Yeah, how many of you wore your sports uniforms? Or yeah, I love seeing the Kansas City guys and the Braves and the Chiefs and the Cowboys and the Patriots and the Redskins. Yeah, I'm sure we got fans of all sorts over here, right? Man, it is Super Bowl Sunday, and you know, sometimes as a pastor you think, oh, Super Bowl Sunday, nobody's going to show up to church today. But, you know, God always likes to prove me wrong because look at that. It's like full. And Super Bowls now for the last 18 years has been really great because I can actually remember the game. Because I remember back in the day, in 1939, I would have already had at least a 12-pack. Yeah, and by the time the game started, I was upside down and sideways, and the game would be over, and it would be Monday morning, and they said, did you see that play? No, what play? Did you see that commercial? No, what commercial? But now, clear mind, sober, enjoy every game commercial, and it's so wonderful now. Oh, thank you, Lord, for delivering me from the addictions of alcohol, man. It is good. Yeah, so it's been many years. I love it, man. It's just great. Man, today two teams will battle for bragging rights of who's the best in the National Football League. And you know, these guys started like probably a year ago, getting in shape, preparing, getting in like top physical condition to be at the best, the top of their game. And the sad thing is only two teams make it this far. And for 17 plus weeks, these guys battle broken bones, bruises, blood. I mean, just to get to this point. Sometimes they win, sometimes they lose. And sometimes I think, man, when your team makes it to the Super Bowl, it just makes it more stressful, yeah? Well, better to just lose so you can enjoy the game. I mean, I'm thinking about it like, oh, I'm going to have to listen to James brag for every score they make. And all the Patriots fans are going to be texting and blowing up my text messages when they score. It's like, oh, I'm going to. And if my team never made it, wouldn't happen, right? So the championship game a couple weeks ago that I didn't get to see because I was in my car driving to go fishing. I chose to go fishing instead of watch the game. So I'm driving, right? And you know you're not supposed to use your phone, right, when you drive. And I'm driving, and my phone is just beep, beep, just exploding. And I think, like, what is going on? Either the Rams got really badly smoked or they won. And so I didn't get to check it until I got to the fishing spot. Then I realized they won. I was like, oh, now more stress. Yeah. But, you know, what makes them win? Is it teamwork? Is it coaching? Is it the skill, or is it all of it? You know, when we look at the Bible, and we read the Bible, hold on, if you read the Old Testament, man, it would be either rated R or rated X, because there was so much violence, there were so much wars, so much battles, so much people being killed and slaughtered. And when you read the Bible, sometimes you read that the Israelites won, and sometimes they got creamed. And in our very own lives today, man, from the time that we get up, how many of you know we're in a battle? As soon as we open our eyes, and it's like we're at battle already. Like the enemy attacks us, and all day long, all week long, we face battle. Not on a field, but and not with swords and spears, but in our hearts, in our minds, in our homes, in our schools, at our workplace, we face battles. So many times, you know, we may complain, like, man, I'm not seeing the victories in our lives. But sometimes we gotta think, am I ignoring maybe the fact that maybe I'm not in God's perfect will? Maybe I've done something wrong to cause this battle. Maybe I'm not trusting in the Lord fully. But maybe I'm suffering the consequences of my past disobedience. We may have forgiveness of sins, right? How many of you know that 1 John 1:9 says, well, that if you confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So we know that when we ask, we are forgiven. But that doesn't mean that the consequences of our sin will be taken away. And I believe God wants us to live victorious Christian lives. But for us to win the daily battles, we need to follow the one who leads us. So if you have your Bibles, how many of you bought your Bibles? Yeah, hold up your Bible. Let me see. Well, okay, we got like one third, man. Okay, so I'm going to ask you guys to bring your Bibles. If you have your Bibles, how many of you know where Joshua is? Yeah? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Okay, and then Joshua. So if you're in Judges and Ruth, you went too far. Psalms, you're too far, but Joshua. Okay. So this is what's happening in the book of Joshua, okay? They just came out of Egypt. Okay? Instead of taking 11 days to get from Egypt to the promised land, it took 40 years. I don't know. I cannot call them knuckleheads because I am just as bad. Yeah. Only thing, took me 37 years, so I beat them by 3 years. So they're coming out of Egypt, and they're ready to enter the promised land. Moses, because of what he did, he wasn't allowed to go in the promised land, so they're crossing the promised land, and now Joshua, Moses' assistant, he got some big shoes to fill, and he's leading them into the promised land. So they cross the Jordan, and they're going to face their first enemy. Okay, so how would you like, when you get up and you get your daily battles, and come the end of the day, you're like, yeah, I did really good today. I resisted the temptation. I never yelled at my employee or my coworker, even though they did stupid stuff. I never cussed the guy who cut me off. Right? Oh, you're silenced, man. So then there was silence in the church because I do that. I see so many people drive through red lights and I get mad because, you know, could be one of my children's coming to the stoplight and they get creamed. But how many of you like to get up, you know, face your battles and just like at the end of the day, you're like, oh, what a day. I faced all my trials and I am victorious. You like to be like that at the end of the day? I'd love to be like that. Because there are some days that, yeah, I'm victorious. There's some days like, what went on, man? I think I yelled at everything that I could have yelled at and I failed. So Joshua, we're going to look at what causes the defeats and the victories. Joshua 6, I'm starting in verse 1. Now Jericho was tightly shut because of the sons of Israel, no one went out and no one came in. They were actually terrified of the Israelites because of their reputation. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and the valiant warriors. And you shall march around the city, all the men of war, circling the city once. You shall do so for 6 days. How are you like that for battle instructions? Walk around the city once a day for 6 days. Like, really? Seriously? What's that going to do? This is going to give them target practice, right? Also, 7 priests shall carry 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. Whew. Yeah, I don't read anything about patriots in the Bible. I only need rams. Maybe because the rams is always a sacrifice, yeah? Oh, boo. I know. James said amen to that. Then on the seventh day, you shall march around the city seven times, and the priest shall blow the trumpets. And it shall be that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people will go up, every man straight ahead. Wow, what instructions. I think they say that God gave them these like complicated instructions because he was making it undeniably clear that the battle would depend on God and not the Israelite strength. Because if God told them, you just go charge the wall, break it down, and kill everybody, they said, ha, we did it. We did it. But doing it this way, without breaking down the walls, and just having the ark go in front of them, and walking and blowing the trumpet, and then when you yell, the walls fell down. It's like, wow. Then you gotta like, then you probably like see that happen, and you look up and like, wow, God, you just showing off now. You ever had that happen? That something happened to you like, wow, God, you just showing off. I think that's why they let the priest carrying the ark go first, and not the soldiers, the warriors. They went and led God's army into battle. And you know, Jericho already, they were the people in there, they were afraid. That's why they locked their gates. And Joshua 6, continuing in verse 17, the city shall be under the ban. It and all that is in it belongs to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot and all who are in her house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. But as for you, only keep yourselves from the things under the ban, so that you do not covet them, and take some of the things under the ban, and make the camp of Israel accursed, and bring trouble on it. So that's, God was telling him, kid, this is what you cannot do when you slaughter these guys. You can kill them, everything, but you cannot, the only thing you can take was Rahab, because Rahab hid the spies when they went check out the city to see if they could overcome it or not. So here's the thing. Number one, victory comes from obedience. When they obey, when we obey, that's why I think it's important for us to read our Bible. Whether it's in the morning or in the night, we read and we obey. So that's why when I read the other day and I read that the church was praying. Imagine if we was praying like we should be praying. People being healed, strongholds being broken, victories every single day in our relationships, in our finances, in our health, all those things, man. So that's why I'm asking you now that we pray. In Joshua 6, 20 and 21, the people shouted and the priests blew their trumpets. And when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat. So the people went into the city, every man straight ahead, and they took the city. They utterly destroyed everything in the city. Kind of mean, yeah? Both man and woman, young and old, oxen, sheep, and donkey with the edge of the sword. You think that's kind of, if it was one movie, guaranteed rated R. Because everybody in that city got cut open and cut to pieces. You know, you see those movies and you think like, oh, kind of graphic. But why did God tell them to do that? Why did God demand that Israel, the Israelites, destroy almost everything in the city, everything in Jericho? Here's what people say. They was carrying out judgment against the wickedness of the Canaanites. This judgment or ban that he was doing required that everything be destroyed. He was doing that because of the idolatry that they was practicing. The Canaanites were a stronghold of rebellion against God. And they wanted to make sure that they cleaned out everything so that later on they would not have any idols around that they might try and think of worshiping, because, you know, they came out of Egypt, right? And Egypt, they were just full of idols. Look what Moses happened when Moses went up to the mountain, and he didn't come down. They said, Aaron, build us a calf. Said, we can worship it. And they was talking about the calf was the one getting them out of Egypt. It's like, seriously, you just seen God part the Red Sea, and now you like, worship one calf. I would eat them, not worship them. Prime rib. Yeah? So they were to destroy everything. Yeah. And God's purpose in this was to keep the people's faith uncontaminated. He did not want the plunder to remind them of the Canaanites' practices of worshiping idol. God wants us to be pure. He wants us to be clean. He wants us to clean up our behavior when we begin a new life with him. And we must not let the desire of personal gain distract us from spiritual purposes. We must also reject any objects that remind us of a life of rebellion against God. You know, obedience is very important. I know if you have children and you ask them, can you please wash the dishes? Well, we don't usually use please, right? Hey, go wash the dishes, right? How many of you asked, can you please wash the dishes? Anybody? Oh, one. Hey, we good. Because we just, hey, go wash the dishes. And when they go wash the dishes, oh, right on. I'll give you ice cream. But when they don't listen, yeah, cracks. Grounded. Take away the cell phone. Right? So can you imagine? Okay, that's how we feel when our children don't listen. Right? We're kind of like, oh, you know, I want to cook you dinner. I did all this. I put a roof over your head, clothes on your back. I asked you to wash the dishes, and you don't listen. Kind of like, wow. And when I was doing this, like, wow, God, that's how it feels. Yeah? That's how you feel when I don't listen. Ooh. See, when I write this message, it's like always for me. See, God, that's how I feel when you don't listen. When I tell you go here, and you go there. Oh, sometimes I wish he would tell me to go fishing more often. Scott, you need to go take Al and Johnny and Norman and Jeffrey and Mike. You need to go take them fishing, spend time with them. Hey, amen, I am there. Right? But when he asks you to do something difficult, you know, go and talk to somebody because they did something wrong. Oh, Lord, come on. Pastor Aaron, can you go talk to so-and-so? I learned how to delegate. Yeah, so when they listen, it's great. You reward them, right? But when they don't listen, consequences, amen? Think about it. What is God asking you to do? Is he smiling, saying, good job? Or is he saying, man, you got to work on that? Number two, this defeat comes from disobedience or sin. Huh? So this is what happened in Joshua. Turn to chapter 7. Verse 1. But the sons of Israel acted unfaithfully in regard to the things under the ban. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, from the tribe of Judah, took some things under the ban. Therefore, the anger of the Lord burned against the sons of Israel. One guy. It took one guy to be disobedient. The things that was under the ban, like the clothing, the cattle, and the other plunder that they should have destroyed when they conquered Jericho. One guy seen something. Oh, this is nice, man. Why should we throw it away? Man, I can use this. It was God's command not to take it. So now what happens? Now the Israelites in chapter 7, verse 3. Now the Israelites are going up a smaller, less fortified city called Ai. And in verse 7, they return to Joshua. So they went to check out the land. They went to check out the city. They said to him, "Do not let all the people go up. Only about 2,000 or 3,000 men need to go up to Ai. Do not make all the people go toil up there, for they are few." So about 3,000 men from the people went up there, but they fled from the men of Ai. The men of Ai struck down about 36 men and pursued them from the gates as far as Shibarim and struck them down on the desert. So the hearts of the people melted and became as water. So you see, just because of that. So Joshua was like, "What's up, Lord? What's going on? You took us out of Egypt just to get us slaughtered by this small city?" So in verse 10, it says, "So the Lord said to Joshua, 'Rise up. Why is it that you have fallen on your face?'" And then God tells Israel, that's why it's not on my notes, but that's why I asked you to bring your Bibles, because I realized that if I put every single scripture up there, you have no reason to bring your Bibles, right? I'm enabling you. I give you notes. I give you stuff on the screen. But if I don't put it up there, ha-ha, surprise, bring your Bibles. Verse 11, "Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I've commanded them. And they have taken some things under the ban and have stolen and deceived. Moreover, they have also put them among their own things." Okay, so that was the thing that they did. The thing that Achan did was he took some things that they weren't supposed to. So now when they went to fight this smaller city, they ran away like chickens because there was something not right. They did something wrong. They were disobedient. So they lost that fight. I mean, could you imagine if I stole that thing, and because I stole that thing, 36 of your husbands died because of me? Oh, you would quickly come after me, right? I lost my husband because of you. Where's that biggest rock? Yeah, exactly. So what happened? So they prayed and they prayed and they prayed, and they found out God revealed to them who was disobedient. And they found out that it was Achan from the tribe of Joshua. So they took him and his family and they stoned him, and they got rid of him. They killed him. And after they did that and they made things right, then they went back and then they defeated the city of Ai. When Israel eliminated the sin from the community, these were the results. God's encouragement, God's presence in the battle, God's guidance and his promise of victory, God's permission to keep the plunder now from this small city and the livestock from the battle. Throughout Israel's history, blessings came when they got rid of sin. In our lives, we will experience blessings when we turn from our sin and follow God's plan wholeheartedly. Here's something to think about. What has God been asking you to do so that you can become victorious? Have you been putting off that thing you need to do? Do you need to stop doing something that you started doing? You know, if you're tired of feeling defeated and you want to feel victorious, man, you got to get with the program, the obedience program. Why face another day of defeat when you can enjoy victorious, fruitful living? What is one step of action that you can take today that would ensure a future of victory What is one thing? Maybe pray, maybe read, maybe forgive somebody who's wronged you. Maybe go ask for forgiveness. Maybe go make a relationship right. What is one thing you can do out of obedience to God that you can ensure your future of victory? Think about that. And not only just think about it, okay? Just like, oh, that's a really, really good thought, man. Don't leave it there. Go and do it so that you can enjoy a future of victory. Because if you read the Bible, especially the Old Testament, all the battles that they won, they were obedient. All the battles that they lost, they were disobedient or they forgot to pray first. But there is victory in obedience, and there is defeat in disobedience. Amen? Hey, are you guys ready to take communion? Yes. You ready? Do we need the worship team up? No, okay. We're going to take communion now. Pastor Aaron is going to lead us.
Yes. Thank you, Pastor Scott. And I know right now he's hoping that his Rams were obedient, yeah? Well, like Pastor Scott said, we are going to take communion. And as you know, here at New Hope East Hawaii, we don't do very many of the traditional church things. We don't have the organ. We don't have a lot of the traditional things. We don't wear the robes, or Pastor Scott doesn't have that collar. But one of the traditions that we do keep to is that we do this thing that we call communion. Once a month, we will always do this. And the reason why is because Jesus asked us to. In fact, on the night of the Last Supper, he brought the guys together and he said, do this in remembrance of me. As much as you get together, do it in remembrance of me. So when Jesus says something, we know that it's very, very important. That's why we continue to do this. Now, the ushers are passing out the elements, a cup of juice and a piece of bread. And when you get those, just hang on to them for a little while. And as soon as everybody gets theirs, we're going to take communion together. But just so you know that what it's really all about is that Jesus broke the bread and he gave it to his disciples. And I'm sure they had dinner together all the time. But I'm sure that night, the disciples knew that something was different about Jesus' demeanor and the importance of which he was doing what he was doing. And as he passed out the bread, he told them that about what was going to happen, about what he was going to do in laying down his life for us, so that we could spend eternity with him in heaven. That's why it's so important. And if you think that, you know, Jesus was God, so what he was going to do wasn't going to hurt. Well, remember that he was also man. And just a couple of hours after they did this communion together, he walked out outside of the garden and praying to God. He actually asked God to remove this thing from him, that his body would be broken and his blood shed for our sins. He asked God to remove it, and so much so that he actually sweat blood. Now, I know that you don't sweat blood unless you're under extreme duress. Right, Doc? So, we know that he would be feeling every bit of it. And I guess it would have no meaning as well if he didn't. So it was something that we get to take very, very seriously. Amen? Okay, brothers, don't forget about me, okay? Oh, right. Thank you so much. But what it all came down to is that Jesus asked us not to forget the sacrifice that he would make, and that we would do it. You know, when we get together as family, one of the things we do is reminisce, yeah? We talk about the things that we've been through, especially the important stuff. And this was one of the most important. The Bible says that Jesus took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which will be broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's take of the bread. And then in the same manner, he took the cup and he said, "This is my blood poured out for the redemption of your sins. Let's drink of the cup." And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the victory we have in you because of the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us. And we ask you, Lord, to never allow us to forget how much you love us. Father, as we always pray, let your will be done. Let us always remember how good you are and how much you love us. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And when you're done, you can pass your cups to the inside row and the ushers will come and receive that from you. And then would you stand with us? And let's sing together one more time before we dismiss this morning.
Listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.